What up, what up, what up? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the ISC Bengals Show. My name is Chris Asbrock, and I am your host today. And as always, ISC is presented to you by Dark Hawk Nutrition. Dark Hawk Nutrition is the next evolution in sports supplements. Their pre-workout, protein, creatine, and other products are produced in FDA-approved facilities, third-party tested for quality, and are guaranteed clean. So make sure you use code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. That is code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. Well, we are back here for another week. Obviously, last week we did not put out an episode with the Bengals victory over the Arizona Cardinals. I was on my way back from Cleveland. We were at a soccer tournament up there. So, therefore, I did not watch the game. I still haven't watched the game. I've just seen just a few highlights here and there. But that victory brought the Bengals to 2-3 before this past weekend, where they took on the Seattle Seahawks and came away with a weird, I guess is the best way to put it, a 17-13 victory over the Seattle Seahawks at Paycor Stadium. It was, let's put it this way, 66,385 people saw a very weird game in terms of what we saw from the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, let's be real here. The Cincinnati Bengals, they improved to 3-3. They've won 3 out of 4 games. Looking, you know, okay, and some, you know, other games you're just like, what? This has been, like I said, they're 3-3 right now, heading into the bye week. It feels like a 2-4 type record right now. This does not feel like a Bengals team that is 3-3. It's positive to be going into this bye week at 3-3 based off of what we have seen over the last, like I said, over the last couple weeks. Yes, they have won 3 of 4, but that's just not it. We've had one good game out of those three victories. Out of the last, you know, technically based off of how they played, 1-5 would be a positive, you know, record right now at this point in time. They've played one good game, and that was last week against the Cardinals, where they looked like the old Cincinnati Bengals. So, starting off this game here, the Cincinnati Bengals, like I said, they improved to 3-3, and right now, let's be real, before I get into the game, I'm going to sidetrack here real quick. The Bengals are lucky at 3-3 right now that they are lucky to be, you know, to have this going down in a season where the rest of the NFL and even the AFC is just meh. There's no real dominant team out there right now at this point in time. I mean, I guess you could say the 49ers, but they're injury riddled. The Eagles are, who knows what you're getting with them. I mean, yeah, their offense has a lot of questions, and they just lost to the Jets. I mean, those are two of the better teams. And let's be real, the Eagles are a good team. Like, I'm not – it sounded like I was putting them down. I'm not, because the Eagles are a really good football team. But it's just an overall – it's just, man, like all throughout the league, this is a weird year. The Bills don't scare me this year. Now, Jacksonville's a team that is going to be one to watch. Jacksonville's going to be a team that could be an absolute pain in the ass for the rest of the season. Kansas City, yeah, but you still don't know. You're not getting a lot of consistency out of Kansas City. They're not the Kansas City we've seen in the past. Baltimore is, I mean, yeah, they lead the division, but is Baltimore really that good? No, they're not. Cleveland, God only knows what you're going to get with them without Deshaun Watson right now. You're asking P.J. Walker to step up and take control there. I don't know what you're going to get from that. Their defense is fantastic, but P.J. Walker, I don't know if he's going to be able to help lead you to the playoffs. And Pittsburgh, I mean, you still don't know what you're getting from Pittsburgh. And you're asking a lot for Kenny Pickett to go out and win you a bunch of games. So the division is still there for the Bengals to win it. Because I still say, and I've said it before, the Bengals are the best team in the AFC North, roster-wise. And when fully healthy and playing, the Bengals are the best team in the AFC North. So, again, who knows? They are very lucky with what we've seen so far. In the NFL, the Bengals are very lucky right now to be 3-3 when things could be much worse. If this was a league, you know, wide thing where everyone, where the top teams were taken over, Bengals would be in, they'd be hurting pretty good right now. But they're not. They've been given a nice reprieve there to come out and hopefully, you know, they've been given a second chance. And a 3-3 going in the bye is a huge chance now moving forward for this team to do something as we head into the second half. So what did we see on Sunday against Seattle? Bengals win the toss and elect to defer. Not a big deal. Seattle goes on an 11-play, 73-yard drive, culminating in a touchdown. So, and okay. I mean, okay. It is what it is. The Seahawks looked, I mean, that was a very good drive they put together to start off. They looked pretty good. It almost, I don't want to say looked unstoppable, but the Bengals made adjustments after that and really did a good job holding Seattle, you know, at bay. They did a really good job of that. So the Bengals get the ball, and it's their turn now. They go on a 13-play, 69-yard drive that went 6 minutes and 16 seconds. And that culminated in the Joe Burrow 8-yard touchdown pass to Tyler Boyd. And there we go. We're tied up. Things are looking good. And the Bengals made it look, they made that drive look easy. You know, first play from scrimmage was a nice run for Joe Mixon. Then you had an incomplete pass. Then you had a pass to Joe Mixon outside, you know, from the backfield, and he runs for 11 yards. Then you had another run. Then you had Irv Smith, who showed up for a play. Then he had an incomplete pass. But then on fourth down, the Bengals were given another reprieve here with a neutral zone infraction on fourth and two, giving the Bengals the chance to, you know, continue the drive after a fourth down right there. 7 plays later, the ball's in the end zone. And it was just bang, 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 bang. Bengals kick the ball off. Boom. 3 and out. You're like, okay. 3-play, 6-yard drive for Seattle there and force them to punt. Bengals get the ball back. Go 7 plays, 73 yards. Culminating in an Andre Yoshivash touchdown. Now we're talking. There we go. And that was it. After that, a 5-play, 20-yard drive, punt. 3 and out, punt. Intercepted to start off the first drive of the second half. 2-play, 5 yards, interception after that. 6 plays, 13-yard drive, punt. 5 plays, 19-yard punt. We get the ball on an interception. A beautiful interception. And the Bengals could do nothing from it. They did get a field goal out of it because Cam Taylor-Britt on the interception, a great athletic diving pick. He gets up a nice return. They could do nothing else. They get the ball at the 34-yard line. First and 10 at the 34. Place is buzzing. You just got a nice pick. 4 plays, no yards, ends in a field goal. And then your final 2 drives, punt and a punt. So after your 2 touchdowns, you managed to get 1 field goal out of technically 8 drives. 9 if you want to include the kneel down, which I don't count. So 7 drives, nothing from it. So what happened? This was one of the most WTF games that you're going to see from the Cincinnati Bengals. Because it just, I mean, where it started and how it turned so fast, literally in the blink of an eye, this offense looked like going from the Bengals of old, where you're not stopping us, to literally, oh my God, what are we doing here? Have these guys ever played together in their entire lives? The problem, there's a few problems here. And it's, for once, it's not the offensive line. The offensive line has not been the issue. Now, you've had a couple of bad plays here and there, but that's going to be the case in every situation. So, you've got a quarterback now who seemingly does not trust anybody else besides Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr was targeted 13 times in this game. He hauled in 6 receptions for 80 yards. Now, Tyler Boyd had 7 targets, hauled in 7 for only 38 yards. Joe Mixon targeted out of the backfield 4 times. T. Higgins targeted 4 times. Trevion Williams, 2. Chase Brown, 1. Irv Smith, 2. Sample, 1. Yoshivash, 1. And his was the touchdown. After that, it was Joe forcing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. Seems like there's very, very, very little trust that Joe Burrow has in his other receivers or anybody else. That's concerning. Why is that concerning? Because all a team has to do is just focus on Ja'Marr Chase. That's it. And you will shut this team down. Look at what happened in the second half. The second half was one. It wasn't even just the second half. There was so much more to this. It was literally after the first 2 touchdown drives, after that, existent offense. So when you see a team focus on Ja'Marr Chase and take him down, and here's the thing, Seattle did a really good job of making adjustments.
something the Cincinnati Bengals defense does very well. The Bengals offense, not so much, and they never have been. That's a problem. So why is this offense, let's kind of go back to it again. You force it to just Ja'Marr Chase and that's it. Your running back, backup running back, and tight end have been awful. Joe Mixon has had he's had one game to where he looked like Joe Mixon. Other than that, non-existent. He looks exhausted and overworked. Overworked is a word I heard. I want to say it might have been from Paul Dana Jr. That is a great way to put it. Joe Mixon looks like he is just exhausted and he is overworked right now. And that's what happens when you don't have a backup running back. Because apparently they don't seem to trust Chase Brown or Trayvon Williams or Chris Evans for that matter. So Joe Mixon, who we were saying, myself and Nick were talking about it, that we were willing to get rid of Joe Mixon because he wasn't worth his contract or what he was going to be paid. He did the right thing. He took a pay cut to stay here and help this team out. Had he not, this would be a much worse looking situation than what we're in right now. But he did. And good on him. But the fact that there's nobody backing him up and even worth a crap is a problem. This is where the team has to be called out for it. They poorly addressed tight end in the backup running spot this offseason. It was poorly addressed. They devalued those two positions. And they put too much trust in what they had. Going to do anything to get it better. The one-year prove-it deals that we saw from Hayden Hurst, which Hayden Hurst worked out, but they weren't going to pay CJ Uzama what he got from the Jets. That's fine. Have at it, my man. Hayden Hurst would have been the one that I would have looked to bring him back. He got paid a lot. Okay, so we weren't going to bring him back. That's where you draft a guy. Two guys were there for the Bengals to take. Sam Laporta from Iowa. Laporta's the one that he is doing a phenomenal job right now in Detroit. He's the one that you kind of regret not getting. Backup running back. Or just address it. I mean, there was Ezekiel Elliott was out there. Leonard Fournette's still out there. Leonard Fournette is blocked for Tom Brady. The offensive line has not been the issue here. You've had, like I said, you've had some bad moments where you've seen Cordell Volson, who could be better this year. He's not completely absolved of this, but he hasn't been awful. He hasn't been the reason this offense has sputtered. That ain't it at all. So with the offense being so inconsistent and literally, like I said, the majority of it WTF the entire time, we're at the bye week now, which, like I said, came at a perfect time. What do we look at? There's three things we got to look at here. Tight end, running back position, and play calling. I've heard other people talk about this. This is the perfect time to go out and make trades. Now we know this team doesn't do that. They have to break that mold. Is now for this team to break that mold. Call New England. Offer a draft pick for Hunter Henry. There you go. Solves your tight end position. Get him working here over the bye week. Get Joe working with him. Boom. Another one. Call the Denver Broncos. Offer sixth or seventh rounder for Samaje Perine. Broncos are in full-blown rebuild mode right now. Bring back Perine. The dude knows the offense. He knows what he's doing in this offense. Make it happen. There you go. That solves your two issues right there. Is Hunter Henry an upgrade over Irv Smith Jr.? You're damn right he is. He's one hell of an upgrade over Irv Smith Jr. Now's the time for this team to make it happen. So with the offense being the way it is right now, the bye week being here, like I said, as we're looking at it right now, at 3-3, which feels like 2-4 and 1-5. 3-3 does not feel like 3-3 coming off of 3 out of 4 victories. Doesn't feel that good. In a game against the Seattle Seahawks, where you look like nobody could stop you the first two drives of the game, followed by 7 drives, absolutely squat being put on the scoreboard. 1 drive in the second half was a field goal, and that was it. When this team loses games, it's not because of their defense. This bye week comes at a perfect time. Get the offense back on track. Because what we saw on Sunday, 7 drives after 2 unstoppable scoring drives, simply cannot happen. Simply cannot happen. So here's your chance. Bring in a tight end. Bring in a backup running back. Get him acclimated to the offense during this bye week and get things righted. Play calling has to get better. Now, before, as this game was going on, or as the season was, you know, starting, a lot of the play calling was based off of Joe's calf. I get that. I totally understand. Zach Taylor was pretty limited on what he could do based off of, you know, based off of what, you know, Joe's limitations were. Totally get it. Totally understand. That's not the case now. Joe looks like he is about as close to 100% as you're going to get from him. So here we go. Get this offense better and get that confidence built back up from Joe and his other receivers and everybody else. That has to happen. Again, because the Bengals don't lose because of the defense. The defense continuously rises to the occasion and they make adjustments. So when the Bengals lose, it's because the offense doesn't show up. And again, if it wasn't for the first two drives of that game, they lose that game. The defense bailed them out multiple times in this game. Multiple times. Huge sacks from Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, interceptions from Mike Hilton, Cam Taylor-Britt. Trips, multiple red zone trips from the Seattle Seahawks resulted in 0 points. The bend but don't break mantra that Lou Anarumo has with this Bengals team came to fruition. And by golly, he made it. This team, this defense stepped up and rose to the occasion. Now, we know Lou Anarumo does not like playing young players slash rookies in the secondary. He doesn't like doing it. But you have guys like DJ Turner who have stepped up, and they stayed on this team and have played because of their play during training camp and then what we've seen so far in the game. DJ Turner has played really good football for a rookie in the first 6 games of the season. Jordan Battle. Solid football in the safety position, taking over for Nick Scott. Because Nick Scott is, he's been pretty bad. To be nice about it. He hasn't been good at all. He's not been good at all. So with that being the case, now you're seeing Lou Anarumo having to play these guys because these two have forced Lou's hand to where you can't take him out. And you combine that with CTB, Cam Taylor-Britt has emerged as the new number one corner for the Cincinnati Bengals. He played a fantastic game the other day covering DK Metcalf. And he had DK so flustered he didn't know what to do. And that's saying something because DK Metcalf is a phenomenal receiver in this league. CTB has risen to the occasion and has taken over as the new number one corner for this team. And this defense bailed out the offense. The Cincinnati Bengals defense won this football game on Sunday. Bengals win 17-13 over the Seattle Seahawks. And the Bengals defense were the stars once again for this team. Great play again from Logan Wilson, who is still the most underrated player. He's the most underrated linebacker in the league, hands down. Solid play from him. Trey Hendrickson. Sam Hubbard. Those two on the outside, boom. And then you get the secondary play, like what we have and what we've gotten so far from these guys, aside from Nick Scott. This defense continues to show why they are an elite football, or they're an elite unit. The problem is they're not being helped out by the offense. That's where this bye week comes in crucial here. Get the offense fully right like they were against Arizona, and the defense continues to be where they are. This is going to be a very fun second half for the Cincinnati Bengals. But things have to be put into motion here for this team to really get going. Can they do it? They sure can. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the ISC Bengals Show. Again, I am Chris Asbrock, and again, thank you guys so much. We have had some issues with the website and having some articles actually posting on there, but we're going to be getting back with some high school football stuff coming up and definitely some other articles and everything like that coming up. But again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on X. At I am Chris Asbrock, at IS Cincy, and at Cincy ZZ. Make sure you follow us online at www.iscincy.com. That is www.iscincy.com. Make sure, again, you follow us there. YouTube stuff, I'm still trying to get more stuff placed on the YouTube page. Make sure you check that out. As always, thank you guys so much. Truly appreciate it. And stay tuned. We will be back this coming week. With another episode, just kind of recapping the first half a little bit better and then going more in-depth into what we're looking at the second half. So stay tuned for that and with some other content coming out as well. And as always, thank you guys so much for all your support and have yourselves a fantastic rest of your week. Take care, everybody.